Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Bird Show.
We have all made mistakes at work, some bigger than others. Bird Show listener has reached out to us, and she wants our Bird Show fam to make her feel better about the mistake she made at work. She's feeling kind of low, so she asked us to share our worst mistakes. If you want to share your mistake to make her feel a little bit better, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Mo, what'd she do?
Hi, ladies. Would you and the Bird Show members be willing to discuss the biggest mistakes you've made at work? I'd also be interested in how you coped with disappointing your employer and yourself. I recently made a big mistake at work. Things have been handled, and although I know in the long run things are going to be okay, I am just so disappointed and upset with myself. I suffer from OCD, anxiety, and depression, and while I'm on medication, which does help, I keep obsessing over it, replaying it over and over in my mind. I really appreciate you guys and love the show. Thanks for all you do.
All right, babe. We are on a mission to make you feel better. And I'm going to kick it off with a recent story in the news, okay? This should make you feel so much better. A New York research university is seeking $1 million in damages from a cleaning company after their janitor allegedly turned off a freezer and destroyed more than 20 years of cell research.
No. No.
20 years.
Uh-huh. The fridge was being noisy, I guess.
Here's my thing about the $1 million. What is that going to solve? You can't go turn back time.
You can't, but you can try to start over, and that $1 million will help you, like, with all the necessary instruments you need and the gathering of the new cell search. But 20 years.
How do you apologize for a 20-year mistake?
You can't.
You can't. Nothing you can't. To say.
All right, Abby, your biggest work mistake, what is it?
Oh, my gosh. So mine was also somewhat money-related. So at my old job, we had some technology snafu that basically meant that we had to insert all of our ads manually. And so I took a vacation for the first time in like 3 years. This was like post-pandemic. I was like, you know what? It's the summer. Nothing's going on. I'm going to take a week off and go to Nashville. And so all of this technology snafu had happened while I was away. So I come back and I've been told once, oh, you have make sure you put the ads in so we can all get paid. And I didn't. And I just slipped my mind because I came back from vacation. You know how you still have like vacation brain.
Yeah.
And the worst part was not only did I not put the ads in, costing us thousands and thousands of dollars, my boss found me like in my office on my phone when she came in. She's like, what's happened to the ads? And I'm like, what do you mean what happened to the ads?
Here comes another 4-hour music sweep with Abby.
All right, Ashley, welcome to the Bird Show. Thanks for joining the conversation. What was your massive screw up at work, babe?
Okay, so during COVID, we all worked. And so my boss was very, never wanted to work, was very not there all the time, and I was frustrated, so I sent a message to the group chat of coworkers, just venting, complaining about him, maybe not being so nice, without realizing that he was actually on that same group chat.
Uh-oh.
No.
Yeah.
How'd that play out?
I unsent the message as quick as I could, and he actually didn't end up reading it, but he noticed that there was... He got the notification, and he saw the first couple of words in the notification that it was about him, and that I had unsent it. And he then proceeded to go back and pull my entire chat history to read everything.
Wow.
And
yeah.
How'd that turn out? Were you done with that job?
So I am done with that job. I actually was able to talk myself through it and we were good, but it was so awkward. I ended up finding employment elsewhere just for my sake.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
That sounded about right.
I don't blame you. All right, Mo, worst work mistake.
I've made a few of them, but I know the one that I probably handled the worst because I was young. Is
no, let's just go over all of them.
No. We don't.
Let's
don't
make have a list.
Technically, she said, "Ladies." I don't even want to give mine.
she said, "Email me. To Cassie and I."
But I do remember I wanted to be a paralegal at the time, and I had no background. But they wanted me to just try it anyway, and I was in training. And I don't remember exactly what I did because I didn't know exactly what I was doing. But they asked me basically to put all of the files into a different place. And whatever I did, I did it completely wrong. And so the next day that I came in, like pretty much like 3 years of work was just gone. And they couldn't find it. And then when I tried to find it, knowing like I swore I put it here, it wasn't there, and I couldn't even explain it, and the entire office was so pissed at me, like, that they didn't even talk to me for, like, 3 days, and then I just was like, I think I'm done here.
Yeah.
That's going to comedy.
That's when you gave up the paralegal dream?
Yeah, exactly that.
All right, Ashley, thanks for joining the conversation. Let's make our birth show listener feel better. What was your worst work mistake?
So I'm a recruiter for the Department of Justice and the FBI, and I recruit for lots of different roles, but at the time I was recruiting for someone to be an aviation technician, which requires a lot of secret clearances and experience, and I was hiring someone to be a social media coordinator for something very different, and they had very, very similar names. So I unfortunately got the offers mixed up and brought someone on to be an aviation technician that was really just good at running Facebook ads, and we had to pay her an outrageous high salary, had to work on getting her a secret clearance because of the mess up that we were legally obligated to fix.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Worked out for her.
Yeah. She was like, I was just here to post on Facebook. Here I am, punching buttons. I was just supposed to poke some people. I didn't realize that I had to do all this.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Jaden Smith says his mom was the one to introduce his entire family to psychedelic drugs, man.
That explains it all. It explains every tweet. It explains every interview. It explains that entire family. It all makes sense now.
Do we think Will Smith was on psychedelic drugs when he slapped Chris Rock?
No, he needed some.
That's probably did it. He needed them.
So Jaden spoke at the Psychedelic Science Conference where he revealed this surprising fact about Jada Pinkett Smith. Huh. She was the first person in the family to try them. And then according to Jaden, it just kind of trickled down from there. He mentioned that his first experience with psychedelics was with mushrooms. And he said the biggest thing for him with trying psychedelics is that it really helped him repair his relationship with his siblings. He's like, we used to argue all the time. And then I started taking psychedelics and all of a sudden I was able to see things from a different perspective. I had more empathy and love for them. Obviously, psychedelics still very illegal. So Jada has also spoken out and is like, you know what, if you're going to take these, work with a professional.
Yeah.
Because it puts you in a very vulnerable position.
That's bold to admit that that's what she did, or that's what he's saying his mom introduced them when it's, you know, not legal.
Yeah, that's his truth. So I guess if he wants to share it, he has every right. I'm sure she's not happy about
that. He's a snitch. Oh my God,
he is a snitch. He absolutely threw his mom under the bus.
We all have our own family traditions. You know, this is just theirs.
That is one weird family, man. I can't begin to understand them.
They are entertaining, though. So it can be very healing, and it changed their lives as what they've said. But yeah, still very not legal.
I hear microdosing is like starting to gain popularity. Did you ever watch that show? Don't ask me what streaming service it was on. I have no idea. But it was like Seven Strangers, Eight Strangers.
Oh,
Nine Strangers?
Nine Perfect Strangers? Is that what I'm thinking
of? Perfect Strangers was that really quirky TV show. I thought it was just like Nine like Strangers.
I was thinking of that. And Cousin Larry.
Is it Nine? It stars Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy's in it.
Nine Perfect Strangers.
Nine Perfect Strangers. I never put the two into the Perfect Strangers. That was one of my favorite shows back in the day when I was a kid. Anyway, it's all about going to this, you don't even really want to call it a resort, but it's like, and they all microdose.
What?
Yes. Yeah, and she only accepts a certain amount of people and ones that she think will be able to microdose well together. But every day they get these smoothies, but they are being microdosed, and I don't think they know.
I remember that I didn't go out and see the trailer, but I know exactly what movie you're talking about.
It's a TV show.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it's a TV show. It's really good. Ooh. And it's all about like these people being being drugged. And if it's been so long since I've watched it, I don't think they know. But like the story, like what happens, you know, courtesy of the microdosing, it's fascinating.
Sounds interesting.
So really, she's just doing some method acting to get ready to come on to season two of that show.
Exactly.
Chrissy Teigen and John Legend just welcomed their fourth child into the world. It's just so exciting. They welcomed a baby boy via surrogate, and they named him Ren Alexander Stevens, which for all my Gen Zers out there, yes, that is an even Stevens character. But Teigen has always wanted four children. She's like, for as long as I can remember, I've wanted to be a family of six. They tragically lost their son at 20 weeks. His name was Jack. Mm. And after that, Chrissy was like, I don't know if I'll even be able to carry more babies, but she wanted to try. So she did IVF, got pregnant with her last most recent child, Esty, and was also considering surrogacy. So now they've got four little babies.
It's so precious. So, you know, I follow Chrissy Teigen, and I've been so, so grateful for her being open about fertility struggles and pregnancy loss, because I think it can be very difficult for people to talk about and also for people to understand. So after they lost Jack, they started looking at surrogacy because didn't know if her body could carry it. But in her heart, she just knew, I think I want to try one more time. And even if we lose the baby, I'm going to be okay with it. So they did. And she got pregnant. And then at the same time, found like the perfect surrogate. So the baby's middle name is Alexander. Their surrogate was Alex. Oh. And so they named. Aww. Yeah. And she's like, her surrogate became like a close friend. It's a really, really beautiful story. And so, yeah, she had a vision of a family of four with four kids, and they've made their vision come true. So, you know, the best to them.
Has she still been like trying to stay out of the spotlight? Because I know that was a thing with her for a minute, or has she kind of got back to herself as far as tweeting and being online and things like that?
That I don't know. I mean, she was very, it was, because they went through the surrogacy, nobody was any the wiser. This was obviously a massive surprise when she posted about this on Instagram yesterday. So I think for the most part, yeah, she's kind of like dialed back that mm-hmm. persona. She just really wants to focus on her family and protecting her family and protecting her well-being.
Yeah, I think when something as tragic as losing a child happens, it puts everything into perspective.
Oh, yeah.
You're not thinking about what can I tweet? Who can I troll today? You just want to focus on making sure your family's all good. Fall Out Boy just released an updated version of We Didn't Start the Fire and mentioned all the major world events except for one big one. We'll chat more about that on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Is it ever okay to not invite someone to your wedding because you know they're not going to be available to attend? Because you know they're going to be dead.
Oh,
I mean, I read this email and my jaw dropped. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And obviously, it hits me differently. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be coming from, you know, I'm going to take it a little more personal. But the email reads, hey, Burt Show. I'm wondering if what my friend did is so cruel that our relationship can't be repaired. I'm not sure how to get her to understand that what she did was incredibly hurtful to not just me, but to my entire family. I recently received a wedding invitation from a dear friend whose directness and pragmatism I've always appreciated. Later that same day, my mother called to let me know that she too had received an invitation. However, my father was not included. I immediately called my friend for an explanation. She coolly explained that since I had recently told her my father, who is dying of cancer, is not expected to live more than a few weeks, he wouldn't be around next spring for the wedding, and thus it made no sense to include him in the planning.
Wow.
I explained that by excluding him from the invitation, his ability to attend aside, her invitation was a cruel slap in the face to both my parents. She then accused me of creating unnecessary drama surrounding her wedding.
Oof.
I snapped and responded to her saying, she's creating unnecessary drama in my dad's dying days. Needless to say, that's where the conversation ended. What can I possibly say to her to explain the inappropriateness of her actions? Should my mom and I decline the invitation due to her callousness? Should my mom defend my dad and respond with plus one anyway to make a point? Or am I overreacting and she's merely being practical about the situation? Though my heart doesn't feel like I overreacted.
Oh, I think you can be both practical and an a-hole, but it doesn't mean you need to be the a-hole or practical in this situation. So I have a really close friend whose dad has a brain tumor that he's been battling for a really long time and actually wasn't expected to make it past, like, I think, like 6 months. And obviously, incredibly devastating. But the thing is with cancer is sometimes people make it through even when there's a bad prognosis. So, I mean, that was a couple years ago. Man's is still going strong. So I can see where she would get that invitation, look at it and think, you have no hope that my dad is going to make it past 3 weeks. But I can also see it from the bride's standpoint of, like, if this is a very, very long time away, I get where she could be flippant about it, but it is just incredibly insensitive.
For me, this would be two things. On the deeper end of it, I'm an energy person. I'm a what you put out kind of person. I'm a watch your words kind of person. So just like Abby just said, you just write my dad off like nothing can go right here. Mm-hmm. That would be a major issue for me. And then on a simple part of it, maybe I'm missing something because I don't know a lot about weddings and things. But what would the harm have been in just simply giving him an invitation?
None.
Like, I don't get that.
Zero. Like, you can still send the invitation proper with her mom and her dad's name on it and know that you probably won't need that seat at your wedding. And you can still plan your wedding without him, and nobody knows that you're doing that behind the scenes, okay? This incensed me because what hurts is when you're going through something that traumatic, if there's a person in your life that's already living in a world post-dad, like, my life has been compartmentalized. Like, there's Kristen before my dad died, and there's Kristen after my dad died. Like, that's just how it is. And so for her to still be in the living with her dad, and her friend to already be in the not living of her dad, it's so insensitive. And I get she's practical, right? And I, my husband is an extremely practical person, but you can be practical and still be sensitive. Mm-hmm. You can be practical and have a freaking heart. So if you're her now, do you even go to the wedding?
I'm not going. I wouldn't go. I mean, on top of everything that we just said and the slap in the face to my mom to remind her of what she's going through with her husband, like, for me, this wouldn't even be an explanation for me. This would be a simple, okay, I see where you stand, mm-hmm. and I'm moving myself out of this relationship.
Just the idea that it hasn't even dawned on her mm-hmm. that this would, like, this is in poor taste and is hurtful, that's damning to a friendship.
Well, the friend literally came to her and said, this was so incredibly hurtful to receive that invitation. So you as a friend should go, you know what? I actually messed up here. I'm absolutely willing to send another invitation. Let me make up for this, because maybe she thought she was just being practical and didn't realize it, but yeah, she was the a-hole here.
Yep, no, I'm not going. I have no desire
you
to
lost
attend
me.
That wedding. I don't even know. I mean, I'm a very polite person. I don't even know if I would send a gift.
I don't think I would either.
Not the gift. Not only am I not going so you don't get my presents, but you're not even going to get my present.
Yes. Hey, The Bird Show.
She's afraid if she shares the secret with her husband, he might actually divorce her over it. It has everything to do with her OnlyFans account.
You just said OnlyFans, and I'm like, well, that'll do it.
Yeah. Having one of those might put a little kink in the whole marriage thing. if you have a dilemma, you're seeking some advice, go ahead and hit us up at theburtshow.com. Our email is producer@theburtshow. And a lot of times there's listeners out there that are going through the same thing as you. This one might be, there probably is somebody out there, but just not as many as in some of our other dilemmas.
It's a niche experience,
there
if you will.
Perfect. Abby's got the email.
Dear Bert Show, it's time for me to be honest with my husband, but I think he'll leave me when he realizes how many lies I've told the past year and a half. So I'm 38, and I've been a stay-at-home mom for 8 8 years. I was a high-level corporate attorney before we had kids, and in all honesty, while I loved my time with my kids, I felt empty not working. So about a year ago, I started my own OnlyFans page. I've always been relentless about the gym, and you'd never guess I was 38. I've been lucky enough to have amazing genes, and to be honest, my body is more like a 25-year-old's, and I'm quite proud of that. Without getting into a lot of specifics, I started an OnlyFans from my home. I've hid it from my husband. It has satisfied everything I was missing. I get to work from home. I'm bringing in over $10,000 a month, and it makes me feel sexy. My husband has zero idea. I handle all the finances in the home, and he too is an attorney and brings home 100% of our income. I have nearly $75,000 saved in an account that he doesn't know about.
Wow.
And haven't spent one penny of it. It's not about the money. I have to stash the electronics I use every day in a place I know he'll never look. I have never shown my face once in a video, but they are definitely sexual. The only thing I hate about it is the double life that I'm living. Should I be completely honest with him, or should I just quit the business altogether? I've tried to tell myself before that I'm just going to quit, but I always come back to it. Help. It's like the dark mode of Hannah Montana. Nice. You get the best of both worlds. Ooh, be a stay-at-home mom.
All right, Mo.
Uh-huh.
Should she just quit altogether? Or should she come clean to her husband?
She come clean to her husband. This is no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought marriage was supposed to be about trust and honesty and communication and loyalty and all these different things that people allegedly get married for. So, allegedly get married for. I mean, so yes, like you should not be keeping, to me, anything from your spouse to this degree. Even with the financial situation, that's an issue. So, that's what marriage is supposed to be. I think she should come clean, communicate, tell her husband what's really going on and who she really is, and give him the opportunity to make a decision with this newfound information.
Yeah, to me, marriage is supposed to be a safeguard. I know this isn't always the case, but in my opinion, if you're married to someone, you should be able to bring literally anything to them. If you've got a body hidden in the backyard or if you've got an OnlyFans, this is something that you should be able to tell your partner and know that while there might be repercussions, it's not going to be like the end of the world and end in divorce. So I think she's got to come clean and maybe buy him a nice gift with that $75K.
All of it. Every dollar.
Okay. She worked hard for that.
All right, 70. I'll settle at 70.
See, I would actually say just quit. Just stop, be done with it, and move on with your life.
The marriage or the job?
The OnlyFans. Oh, okay. Right. The OnlyFans. I would just say just you need to stop because it's gonna come out and it's gonna be bad and it's gonna be ugly. So just quit, file that chapter away, and move on with your life. The problem is she has tried to quit, but she always comes back to it. So if that's the case, quit. My advice is quit. File that chapter away. Move on with your life. But if you do go back to it, you have to tell your husband. Like I think that's what's going to hold you accountable to actually like cutting that OnlyFans cord.
But she don't have to tell her husband now.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
If it wasn't in a sexual context, I think, if she was just making, like, bracelets on Etsy, I'd be like, yeah, I quit the bracelets. But because I feel like this is sort of low-level infidelity, like, we know what people are doing with those videos, I think it's something that she should fess up to.
And she's not quitting. $10,000 a month?
Yeah.
She's not quitting.
That's a lot.
Yeah, she's not walking away.
Well, you have everybody's advice, so take that and do what you will with it. Most people do nothing, but whatever. We love our assholes. Hit us up anytime. Birdshow.com.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Get it? The Bird Show.
You decide to go in with your sibling to buy something. The problem is they don't run by the final amount and they buy it anyway. As the other sibling, are you obligated to still go in halvesies if they overspent? That is the dilemma. And the one that producer Romeo is in.
Yeah, I got myself in a little bit of a pickle, if you will.
What'd your brother do?
So there's this event that happens. Lately, it's been happening quite a while, which is El Clásico, which if you're a soccer fan, you know that these are the two biggest rival teams in Spain. And it's Real Madrid and Barcelona. So like we are talking about like the biggest rivalry in soccer that you could think of. And they usually do like a tour in the U.S. because obviously they're in Spain. So they come during the summertime and they do like a little tour for the U.S.
Like
right?
Exhibition games for Americans.
And they're doing El Clásico here. Or in Dallas, I should say, but in the U.S. But they're doing it in Dallas, Texas. So my brother...
They don't normally do it in the U.S.?
No.
Okay.
So it's a big thing when they come. Yeah, so they've done it for the last couple of years where they've come. I think last year was in Miami and then... Or no, it was in Las Vegas and this year it's in Dallas, right? So my brother was just like, hey, man, like we should go. And I thought it was a casual conversation. You know, like those conversations were just like, hey, we should do something. We should go to like Six Flags and we never go type of thing. Right? So I'm thinking it's going to be a conversation like that. So he's just like, I think we should plan it out. We should go. And I'm like, yeah, totally. That sounds fun. So I think like 2 weeks go by and then he comes into my room and he's like, dude. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And he's like, I got the tickets. And because apparently these are like, you got to be quick because they will sell out. So he was so excited. He was so happy. And I'm like, oh, that's what's up. Now I'm thinking we're going to get nosebleeds. We're going to be at the event, but we don't got to be like in the front, you know?
Because you have to pay for a flight.
Yes.
You have to pay for a hotel.
Yes.
So this is going to be pricey.
It's a lot. It's a lot added to it. Plus the ticket price, right? So I'm already assuming, I can do like $300 for a ticket if he finds anything like that. Sure. So he's just like, dude, I'm going to tell you, it's El Clásico. So I went big and I was like, how big? He's like, we got good seats. And I was like, okay, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, it came out to like $850.
Hey, yo.
Wait, for both of them, right?
No.
A piece.
No.
Yikes.
He did that without consulting you?
He dropped almost $2,000 basically on two tickets. And
you made your budget clear.
Yeah. Well, no, actually.
No, because you all flippantly talked about it. Like, we should do this. All and right. He's like, we should do this. And then before you know it.
So I felt like the etiquette was like, if you plan something that big and then you're going to pull the trigger, like run it by me one more time.
Oh, yeah. Cool? I'm going to get tickets. Can you pay X amount?
Yes. And no, but he just decided I'm going to pull the trigger. Like, I know my brother's got a job and he's going to find a way to pay it. So... Now I'm in the dilemma of, do I still want to go? Like, do I really want to drop this much money? Because like you said, we got to plan out the flight. We got to plan the hotel stay. And
can you afford
food.
That? Do you even want to go? You're taking a Greyhound there.
I was planning on walking. I was ready to leave tonight. Yes, I can.
Okay.
I mean, I can, but it's something I don't want to.
Like pay, you know what I mean? Like I will love to go because I think it's an event that like if you're a soccer fan, like you have to be there.
Okay, well, find a compromise. I'm trying to find a compromise here because I would be upset too if all of a sudden I'm on the hook for $850 for just a ticket. That's a lot of money. So I would be like, all right, here's the deal. I'm going to go, but I'm going to sell my ticket and get a cheaper one because I can't afford that.
That ain't a bad idea.
Because you can resell your ticket and try to find a cheaper one. And if he wants to do the same thing to sit next to you, who can? Or he can keep that seat sit next to a rando.
Well, I can imagine it's hard even to find resale tickets for a reasonable price. So I was actually in this position in your brother's spot for the Eras tour. So I was the designated friend sitting in that Ticketmaster line for 7 hours. And when it came time to buy tickets, I didn't think. I just pressed buy. And my thing was I knew I wanted to see Taylor Swift. I knew I wanted these specific seats. And luckily, I was in a financial spot to be able to be like, I came to my friends and I said, whatever you can pay, whatever it is, you just, if you only want to spend $200, just Venmo me $200. I'll eat the rest.
Wow.
So I think because he just made that financial decision without asking you, I think the fair thing to do would just be like, well, I only felt comfortable spending $300, so I'm only going to spend $300.
Here you go. Yeah. See, what you did is a little different. If I were in your shoes, I wouldn't feel obligated to pay for half of that ticket or half of the money at all. Like, I would call this bluff. That's what I was thinking of. Like, I'm going to go, but I'm going to pay for the tickets that I can afford. And I feel like in that situation, he might go, all right, just give me that. It's fine. And you can sit next to me. But I think that combined with Kristen's idea of selling the ticket is probably a better idea.
Okay.
But like, I don't feel like you obligated to pay that.
Yeah.
Because he didn't ask you first.
No, exactly.
Right.
But how is that going to be received from your brother if you're like, I was only comfortable paying $300 and that's all I got?
I think he's so excited about what, like, the event, because he's like a big soccer fan, like way much more than me. So I think his excitement would ruin it for sure. Like, if I'm like, I don't really want to go to those tickets, let's get cheaper ones.
Yeah.
I think his excitement might be lowered, which is why I've been hesitant to, like, tell him anything yet. Whereas just like, all right, maybe I can just go on a payment plan with my brother.
All right, you got to let us know how that conversation goes.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Fall Out Boy totally redid Billy Joel's 1989 hit, We Didn't Start the Fire.
So, you know that song, Mo?
I don't.
Ready?
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. I don't know the next line, but that's okay.
Yeah, because there's 118 world events that he mentions in that song.
Okay.
It's everything that happened between his birth year, 1949, and the release, 1989. And so Fall Out Boy's like, you know what? It's time for a software update. A lot has happened since 1989. So they decided to do a remix, if you will, with major world events that happened between 1989 and 2023. But here's the wild thing, is they've left out one major event that when everyone listen to it, they're like, wait a second.
No, they didn't leave out the pandemic, did they?
Yeah, they left out COVID.
Are you kidding me?
They left out COVID.
See, they failed then. Oh, it was so good before that.
How could you leave?
Leave COVID out.
Of all the things to leave out, the pandemic is not one of them. I mean, that was like 3 years, still is, like, affecting us.
No, seriously. And it was supposedly very intentional.
Really?
They were like, for 3 years, that's all anybody's ever spoken about is this pandemic. And so they're like, we're leaving it out of the song.
Wow.
But it's history. How do you leave out history?
Yeah, they spaced that one out. Did they have the fire fest in there? Because they did start the fire.
Yeah.
They didn't start enough fires, honestly. At least one fire festival.
So Fire Festival made the song, but the pandemic didn't.
Which had a bigger cultural impact? I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to look up the lyrics now and see what else was in there. You said it's Fall Out Boy?
It's Fall Out Boy. We didn't start the fire. Right. I think they literally just put it out. But I'm glad the Kanye Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that made it.
Okay. I forgot about Balloon Boy. Balloon Boy is mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Here we go. So Captain Planet, Arab Spring, L.A. Riots, Rodney King, Deep Fakes, Earthquakes, Iceland Volcano, Oklahoma City Bomb, Kurt Cobain, Pokemon, Tiger Woods, MySpace, Monsanto, GMOs, Harry Potter, Twilight, Michael Jackson Dies, Nuclear Accident, Fukushima, Japan, Crimean Peninsula. God, wow, these are some hard words. Cambridge Analytica, Kim Jong-un, Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man. But no pandemic.
But no pandemic.
All right. And we go on to say, more war in Afghanistan. Cubs go all the way again. Obama Spielberg explosion. Lebanon Unabomber. Bobbitt John bombing. Bombing Boston Marathon. Balloon Boy. War on Terror. QAnon. Trump gets impeached twice. Polar bears got no ice. Firefest, Black Parade, Michael Phelps, Y2K, Boris Johnson, Brexit, Kanye West and Taylor Swift, Stranger Things, Tiger King, Ever Given, Suez.
Hmm. We didn't start the fire.
Okay, now, again, no pandemic.
Nope.
Next, we have Sandy Hook, Columbine, Sandra Bland, Intimir Rice, ISIS, LeBron James, Sinjo, Abe, Blown Away, Meghan Markle, George Floyd, Burj Khalifa, Metroid, Fermi Paradox, Venus and Serena, Michael Jordan, 23, YouTube killed MTV, SpongeBob, Golden State Killer got caught, Michael Jordan, 45, Woodstock, 99, Keaton, Batman, Bush versus Gore, I can't take it anymore.
We didn't start the fire.
Elon Musk, Kaepernick, Texas failed electric grid, hey. Jeff Bezos, climate change, white rhino goes extinct, Grace Pacific, garbage patch, Tom DeLonge and aliens, Mars rover, Avatar, self-driving electric cars, SSRIs, Prince and the Queen die, World Trade, second plane, what else do I have to say?
We didn't start the fire.
And then no pandemic. That's
I mean,
it.
In their defense, they did have to leave something out. There's a lot of things that happened. But it can't be COVID. It just can't be that.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, 118 spots and they didn't think, you know what, let's put the most important world event that's happened in the last 50 years.
Right. That's a lot of stuff.
On the list. Oh, yeah, but for more stories, head to thebertshow.com.
The Bert Show.
It's not every day you get a woman sliding into your DM saying, hey, I want to set you up with this guy. He's great. He also happens to be my ex, but I think you guys are going to make an awesome pair.
It's definitely a unique experience.
Yeah, and that's what happened for one of our Bert Show listeners. She actually went out on the date, and now you guys want a follow-up to know how the date went. We call it Follow-Up Thursday, and we basically just get closure on any storylines that may have been left open-ended. So specifically, Abby, well, before we get that, this came from Sammy Rossi. She said, last July, you guys talked to a woman who got a rando text from another woman who wanted to set her up on a blind date. I remember you thought it was a trap, but she thought it was a sign from the universe. Whatever happened with that?
Yeah, so Amber was set up on a blind date by a stranger named Laura. Laura randomly slid into her DM. She's like, hey, are you single? And then she mentioned that she had an ex-boyfriend that she wanted to set her up with per this agreement. Before they could break up with one another, they had to find one another's future mate. We all thought this was insane and probably a trap. Amber thought this was some kind of sign from the universe that she needed to go on this date. So then later on, we got an update from her on how the date went. And she was like, he was amazing and never wanted the date to end. But then she made a mistake when she mentioned his ex's name. From then on, he would stop talking about her. She could sense that he might still have feelings for his ex, but she wasn't ready to give up on him. Laura reached out to Amber to see how it went, but Amber was avoiding her call. We all told her it might be best to tell Laura the truth about the date. So what's happened since we last spoke to Amber?
Dun, dun, dun. Mo's got the follow-up.
You know, I never actually saw him again. It was all so crazy. I texted him a few times after that, but then he and Laura got back together, and he started to completely ignore me. Laura did too. She wouldn't respond to any of my DMs. It was so weird. I don't get it. I mean, why set me up with him if you're just going to get back together with him, right? I mean, maybe that was a part of some weird plan all along. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. It was a fun experience, and I'm all about having as many of those as I can. Life's short, so why not live while you can? But I do have myself someone new. He's fantastic. He loves animals, which is a big time good sign in my eyes. I mean, you can't be a jerk but love animals. I'm sure of it. If a guy doesn't love animals, then trust me, it's a huge red flag. I met him about a month ago, and ever since then, we've been practically inseparable. I'm talking about spending almost all of our time together. He just gets me, you know? Not many people truly understand me, and that's okay. If everyone gets you, then you're probably a pretty boring person. Let's be real. So that's all. I'll let you know what happens.
Mm. So it was a setup. But like, how, like, what's the play? I'm having a hard time comprehending and understanding, like, what Laura's play was and how she worked that to her advantage.
it sort of feels like Laura's a little bit of a control freak. Like, okay, well, if I can't have my boyfriend, I'm going to find out who he can have, and then hopefully that works out. But it kind of sounds like, to me, from this update, it kind of sounds like the boyfriend missed Laura and then got back with her, right?
I don't understand what the play would be either.
Right?
I mean, my gut instinct was that she just simply wasn't over him, and she thought she was. And so maybe this was some kind of diversion tactic to, like, make herself believe that she was over him by hooking him up with someone that she knows. But it just doesn't make any sense that if you ended up with him, you obviously still had some feelings for him. So why would you try to set him up with your friend in the first place? I don't get it.
Yeah, none of it makes sense to me whatsoever. I mean, I'm glad she got herself a new man, and he's fantastic. And he loves animals.
Is that a huge red flag for women?
100%.
Yes?
You don't like. It's when we were talking about Rebecca earlier, mm-hmm. and when her friend / kind of date but not really date walked in and didn't acknowledge her dog. It sort of feels like someone's off there.
Like, if you have a legitimate reason, if you like had been attacked by a dog, if you have something that's PTSD related, if you have like mad allergies, something like that, if there's a reason behind it. But if you don't have any of those and you just don't like animals, I don't think I could date you.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, again, other than allergies, if
right.
you have like a moral objection to cats.
Yes.
To me, that's a little bit of a red flag too.
I mean, it makes sense because I love animals, but I never thought to myself, like, if a guy just didn't like animals and didn't have a good reason, he just doesn't want to go to the zoo because he hates animals, like that a woman would see that as like, okay, this ends here. I never thought about that.
Well, like the zoo, if that's not your cup of tea, if it's not fun to you, that's one thing. Like, I don't really care to go to the zoo, but like pets.
Domesticated. Anything that's domesticated that you are anti, and you don't have to like fawn over them. Like it doesn't mean you have to be like obsessed with them. Though I am like, oh my God, I walked by the floofiest, most gorgeous. I was at the children's hospital to visit one of our Burt's Big Adventure kids. And as I'm watching, walking past the kids' library, they had their therapy dogs in the library. And this giant, it was a Pyrenees just laying on the ground, this giant floof. It took every ounce in my being to keep walking towards the elevators. But as I'm walking, I'm like, oh, you're such a big boy. You're such a big, beautiful boy.
A big, beautiful, good boy.
All right, so we have time to cover one more email before we're out of time. And if you ever have a dilemma, you can always hit us up at theburtshow.com. The email's producer@theburtshow.com. And this one is all about whether or not you reveal your body count. And Abby, for those that may not know, what does body count mean?
Body count is how many people you've done the sex with.
Did you just go more country?
I think we went to Charleston all
we
of
went?
A sudden.
Okay.
Well, I do declare my body count is how many times I have been intimate with a manly collar.
A gentleman collar. How many gentleman collars have been in your bed chamber?
All right, so this one says, Burt Show, how are you, radio fam? May I get some quick advice on something that might potentially get asked? I'm getting back to serious dating, and one thing I'm scared to maybe get asked in the future by whoever I'll date is this question. What's your body count? Or how many people have you slept with? I was quite the randy young man in my mid-20s and lost count after 50. Now in my late 20s, I'm past that. If I'm ever asked that question, do I lie? Even though I believe in being very honest, or do I take that to my grave? I feel like I'll be heavily misjudged or scare them off. Sincerely, he signed it Austin Powers.
Oh.
All right, so body count.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest or not to be honest?
I think you should be honest. I mean, I think a lot of people believe that the past doesn't matter, or at least they live their lives as if the past doesn't matter. So I think you should own who you are. Whatever you have done, I think you should want to be with somebody who's going to accept you for who you truly are. And if you have to lie to them to be with them, then why do you want to be with them in the first place? So I think you should be completely honest.
To me, it's not about a specific number. So even if you lost count after 50, I think the only thing that counts is how you view how sex plays out in a relationship. So, for example, I dated a guy who had a much larger body count than me. It was like well over 200. And so we had had a conversation about how that affected his view on intimacy and like how we like had differing views. And so to me, it's more about like, what role does that play in your life rather than like, I slept with 400 people and now I'm a hoe?
I mean, I don't think it's any of your business. Like, if you ask me my body count, I'm going to be like, that's my past. I'm living in the present. And I don't, it's none of your business how many people I've slept with.
Even if it's marriage? Like, if it's somebody you just dating, I understand that. But yeah. If I'm going to marry you, I would probably want to know.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Absolutely.
That number's going to, like, play a part in...
Well, remember, it's kind of like what I said before of, like, background checks. It's like, if you're going to give somebody the rest of your life and invest everything that you have, which is your personal self, into them, like, yeah, I would kind of want to know where you come from, where you've been, and why you lived the way you did.
Oh, we're going to... We are going to expand upon this tomorrow on The Burt Show.
Well, then do it.
The Burt Show.